This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama, and then our feature, Development and the Economy. We shall close with a reflection on this coming Sunday's Gospel passage. I am John Baptist Tumusime. The new Pope, Leo XIV, celebrated Holy Mass on Friday with the College of Cardinals in the Sistine Chapel to conclude the conclave that saw his election as the 267th successor of St. Peter the Apostle. He began his homily with the following words in English, in which he thanked the cardinal electors for their trust in him.
I want to repeat the words from the responsorial psalm. I will sing a new song to the Lord because he has done marvels. And indeed, not just with me, but with all of us, my brother cardinals, as we celebrate this morning, I invite you to recognize the marvels that the Lord has done, the blessings that the Lord continues to pour out upon all of us. Through the ministry of Peter, you have called me to carry that cross and to be blessed with that mission. And I know I can rely on each and every one of you to walk with me as we continue as a church, as a community of friends of Jesus, as believers, to announce the gospel.
For the rest of the Pope's homily, here is Deborah Castellano-Luboff.
We are called to bear witness to our joyful faith in Christ the Savior. Pope Leo XIV gave this heartfelt reminder during his first Mass as Pope.
Siamo chiamati a testimoniare la fede gioiosa in Cristo Salvatore.
In his homily, which he then gave in Italian, he said, Christ showed us a model of human holiness that we can all imitate, together with the promise of an eternal destiny that transcends all our limits and abilities. Even today, he warned, there are many settings in which the Christian faith is considered absurd, meant for the weak and unintelligent, settings where other securities are preferred, contexts, he noted, where it is not easy to preach the gospel and bear witness to its truth, where believers are mocked, opposed, despised, or at best tolerated and pitied. Yet, precisely for this reason, he said, they are the places where our missionary outreach is desperately needed. A lack of faith, he noted, is often tragically accompanied by the loss of meaning in life, the neglect of mercy, appalling human dignity violations, the crisis in family, and so many other wounds. Pope Leo reassured, this is the world that has been entrusted to us, one in which, as Pope Francis taught us so many times, we are called to bear witness to our joyful faith in Christ.
Perciò anche per noi è essenziale ripetere, tu sei il Cristo, il figlio del Dio vivente.
He said it is essential to do this, first of all, in our personal relationship with the Lord, in our commitment to a daily journey of conversion. Then as a church, he noted, we are to do the same, experiencing together our fidelity to the Lord and bringing the good news to all, so that Christ may remain, to spend oneself to the utmost, so that all may have the opportunity to know and love him. I'm Deborah Castellano-Luboff.
The Holy See has released the schedule for Pope Leo's activities starting from tomorrow up to the end of next week. On Saturday, May 10th, he will have a meeting with the College of Cardinals. On Sunday, May 11th, he will lead the faithful who will gather in St. Peter's Square in the traditional Easter season Queen of Heaven prayer. On Monday, May 12th, he will address journalists who are accredited to the Holy See. On Friday, May 16th, he will receive in audience diplomats who are accredited to the Holy See and on Sunday, May 18th, he will preside over the inauguration Holy Mass in St. Peter's Square, where he will receive the symbols of his papal office, that is, the pallium from a senior cardinal deacon and the ring of the fisherman from a senior cardinal bishop. The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has congratulated Pope Leo XIV upon his election on Thursday evening. He said the election of a new pope is a moment of profound spiritual significance for millions of the faithful around the world, and it comes at a time of great challenges when the world needs the strongest voices for peace, social justice, human dignity, and compassion. Mr. Guterres said he was looking forward to building on the long legacy of cooperation between the United Nations and the Holy See, cultivated most recently by the late Pope Francis, to advance solidarity, foster reconciliation, and build a just and sustainable world for all. Pope Leo XIV, 69 years old, is both an American and Peruvian national and a member of the Augustinian Order. The bishops of the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference have issued a statement welcoming the election of Pope Leo XIV. They pledged their support for the new pope and assured him of their continuous prayers. They also expressed their gratitude to him for accepting the immense responsibility of shepherding the universal church. Acknowledging the challenges that lie ahead in his pontificate, they invited the new pope to place his trust in the Lord who has chosen him. Representatives of different faith groups are scheduled to meet in the Ethiopian capital Addis Ababa from Tuesday to Wednesday next week to take part in a conference organized by the African Union in partnership with the Interreligious Council of Ethiopia, the United Religions Initiative Africa, and the G20 Interfaith Forum to share ideas on how to advance sustainable development goals. The participants will discuss peace building and climate change, as well as human rights protection, natural resource protection, and education. The purpose is to bring on board religious communities to work in partnership with all stakeholders on the African continent to accelerate development and peace building. The conference will bring together religious and traditional leaders, interfaith and faith-based organizations, diplomats, policymakers, non-governmental organizations, scholars, and all other stakeholders from Africa. The World Health Organization has issued new guidelines to fight female genital mutilation, FGM, noting that although there is much reduction in the practice in villages, it is now being carried out in healthy facilities. The booklet of the new guidelines has the title, The Prevention of Female Genital Mutilation and Clinical Management of Complications. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
The United States said it would cut $50 million dollars in annual aid to Zambia's health sector because the government had failed to stop systemic theft of donated medicines and medical supplies. United States Ambassador to Zambia, Michael Gonzalez, said this in a statement that he was disappointed to share publicly that since 2021, they have uncovered systemic theft of life-saving medicines and other products that were intended for free for the Zambian public, saying further that medicines stolen included antiretroviral drugs used to treat HIV. Zambia's health ministry responded in a statement acknowledging the United States ambassador's concerns and said recurrent theft of medicines was a persistent challenge dating back to before 2021. After he was alerted to the issue, Zambian President Hakainde Hichilema commissioned an independent forensic audit of the entire medicines supply chain, the ministry said. United States President Donald Trump's administration is finalizing a broader review of its foreign aid, but the cut for Zambia is wholly separate from the process, said the statement. Ambassador Gonzalez said he had recommended to Washington that the United States continue to produce and deliver life-saving medicines and medical supplies to Zambia until January 2026 in order to provide time for the government to develop a transition plan. Fighting along the Nile River in South Sudan has prevented humanitarian aid from reaching more than 60,000 malnourished children in the northeast of the country for almost a month, two United Nations agencies said on Thursday. The United Nations World Food Programme and the Agency for Children, UNICEF, said they expect nutrition supplies for Upper Nile State, which has some of the highest rates of malnutrition in the country, to run out by the end of May. The Nile is a crucial transport artery in South Sudan because the country has few paved roads and a lot of challenging terrain, particularly during the rain season when many roads become impassable. The agencies did not say which fighting had disrupted the route of their aid barges, but government forces have been fighting an ethnic Nuer militia known as the White Army in areas that are near the Nile since March. Ugandan opposition leader and pop singer Bobi Wine said on Friday he plans to run for president for a second time. 43-year-old Wine, whose real name is Robert Kyagulanyi, will be challenging long-serving President Yoweri Museveni, who at 8 years is widely expected to seek re-election. Kyagulanyi said the participation in the election will also be a fighting opportunity to further undress and expose the regime and to further galvanize the people of Uganda to rise up and free themselves. Wine came second in the last election in 2021, but rejected the outcome, alleging ballot stuffing, falsification of results, beatings and intimidation by soldiers, and other irregularities. Uganda is considered by the West as an ally in the fight against jihadists and has deployed troops in Somalia, but Bobby has criticized the West for not speaking out more against gross human rights violations in the country. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio. This is Development and Economy with me, Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Today, a focus on cinema and Nollywood in particular. The search for a successor to the throne of Peter picked up pace soon after the burial of the late Pope Francis, and when the cardinals began the encounters of the general congregations, during which they looked at the life of the church and defined what kind of a path to delineate for the future of the 1.4 billion Catholics of the world. The end of the 12th general congregation somehow gave a signal that the princes of the church were ready to go into the conclave and elect the next pope. Fact of the matter is that a majority of the 133 cardinal electors who flocked to Rome in the weeks following the death of Pope Francis were appointed by the late pontiff and had never experienced a conclave. Many of these also came from small, previously overlooked dioceses across the globe. That meant that they were going to experience the conclave for the first time, and much as it may sound crazy, some media reports say that some of these cardinals resorted to watching the Ralph Fiennes movie, which is handily titled just as Conclave, in order to learn how the real conclave could all play out. The film was released 4 months before the death of Pope Francis on April 21st. As the countdown to the conclave began, the film proved an extraordinarily well-timed primer for millions of people who developed a sudden thirst for quick updates on this centuries-old ritual of choosing a pope, papal front-runners and ecclesiastical intrigue. Pope Leo XIV is said to have watched this conclave movie before entering the conclave, where he was elected new pontiff. His elder brother John Prevost is quoted severally in the media as having said that Pope Leo spent the days leading up to the secretive vote in the conclave watching the film Conclave so that he knew what to expect. Whether this is true or not, the most important thing here is the role that movies can play in society and in different lives of individuals. To and for different people, movies can provide entertainment, emotional release, and inspiration, while also serving as a means of cultural preservation, social commentary, historical documentation, artistic expression, education, and economic growth. This is the case with Nollywood, Nigeria's burgeoning film industry that emerged in the 1990s, primarily due to the advent of home video technology and the rise of VHS. Initially fueled by low-budget grassroots filmmaking, it quickly grew into a major global cultural force, producing a vast number of films annually. The term Nollywood itself is a hybrid of Nigeria and Hollywood, reflecting its ambition and impact. Ali Nuhu is the managing director of the Nigerian Film Corporation. He recently was in Rome for business encounters, and I spoke to him at Vatican Radio on the sidelines of his busy schedule about Nollywood and the strides it has taken to be where it is today.
First of all, I am in Rome to attend a session concerning cultural exchange between Italy and Africa, being the head of the film corporation in Nigeria.
And what was the event about?
Yeah, it's all about, getting to know how the Nollywood film industry has been thriving over the years and possibly how we could partner with the Italian filmmakers, you know, to build this relationship between us, because, you know, film is a medium whereby you exchange cultures, people get to know your culture, you get to know that of the filmmakers from the other side. So
what are your expectations from this encounter?
Yeah, expectations from this encounter is that we do sign co-production agreements, we sign agreements on exchange programs for students and filmmakers from Nigeria and Italy, even agreements on how to attend festivals, film festivals that usually happen in Nigeria. We have the major ones, which are the Zuma Film Festival, the AFRIF, and a couple of others. And I understand we have the African Film Festival too in Italy, and some other festivals that we'd love to know and explore.
I think I understand a bit of the transition from what Nollywood used to be and what it is today. Before, when you heard Nollywood, you knew they were talking about witchcraft.
Yes.
That's what it used to be.
Yes.
Today, when you watch Nollywood, it's like they're in competition with Hollywood.
Definitely.
Could you talk about the transition from a catch of witchcraft in Nollywood and what you are today?
Yeah, you know, like I was having a discussion earlier, I mentioned that when the industry started, Nollywood needed stories that people could identify with within the country, that events that have happened, myth that people are familiar with. And that's what the industry needed to connect with the people, which happened to be the populace within Nigeria. And that's why most of the films were involving, you know, blood money, witchcraft, and what have you. But gradually, the resilience of these filmmakers established the industry, and the government now felt they should come in, support the industry, because when the industry started, there wasn't any support, and the industry needed that support. Mind you, those kind of films were produced under a very small budget, because there wasn't any sort of financing. But when the government came in, and there were corporate bodies that became very interested, there were finance houses like the Bank of Industries, you know, like the Central Bank Creative Desk, and some other commercial banks that had creative desks. They were supporting the industry. Now, it dawned on filmmakers that we have to do our thing professionally. We really need to play the game to compete with the other woods across the globe. And that's what brought about the change. When Nollywood started, of course, there were some professionals that studied filmmaking. But then we had a large chunk of the stakeholders that had no knowledge about what filmmaking was all about. So many of the filmmakers now decided to go for capacity building. I mentioned institution like mine. I studied geography, but eventually in the industry I had to go and do some trainings on some courses to do with filmmaking. Likewise, some other filmmakers in the various fields of directing, scriptwriting, lighting, you know, sound design and what have you. So this is partly responsible for the change you saw. And the federal government now decided to incorporate the National Film Institute. The National Film Institute has played its role because the first set that graduated from the Film Institute went to the BBC World Service Trust as interns. But after 6 months, they took over the show. There was a show that was running on HIV, an educative show on HIV/AIDS. And before you know it, they took over the show.
The Nigerians?
Yes, and they were all Nigerians. And that's because BBC felt there was no need for them to retain the European filmmakers that came and started running the show. So this is to show you how serious and dedicated and committed the filmmakers in Nigeria are. So this is partly responsible for how this stereotype was bricked.
Managing Director of the Nigerian Film Corporation, Ali Nuhu, talking to me at Vatican Radio during his recent trip to Rome about Nollywood and the strides it has taken to be where it is today. And that is all we have time for in this edition of Development and the Economy. Until next week, at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
Coming up next, a reflection on this Sunday's readings, prepared and presented by Father Enobong Udaidyong.
This Sunday, like Paul and Barnabas, we have the opportunity to say boldly to everyone who cares to listen that we are the people of the Lord, the sheep of his flock. God in Christ invites all men and women from every nation to become part of his flock. Every Christian is, by virtue of his or her baptism, a member of this flock. It should be presumed that all those who are in Christ listen to his voice and then follow his ways. The readings of this Sunday bring to mind the making of saints. Everyone who professes faith in Christ Jesus is a saint in the making. The invitation to holiness is a call that has its root in the very being of man. We are created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore seeking holiness is not anything strange to who we are, but it is never an imposition. Like the Jews in the first reading, taken from the Acts of the Apostles, many Christians have, through their words and actions, refused to acknowledge this invitation. How delightful it is to profess the name of Christ and at the same time be counted among the blessed. To be counted among the blessed requires a lot of courage to follow in the footsteps of Christ. It is not an easy road. Many disciples like Paul and Barnabas had to endure trials, tribulations, instigations, and persecutions on account of the way. But they did not relent in their effort to preach the good news. The good news has to be preached with joy and gladness, even in the midst of rejection and persecution. The good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep is the one we preach. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, gave us a mission which has to continue to the end of time. Aware of the importance of this mission, every Christian has a responsibility to preach the good news without fear or favor, but with a sincere heart, aim at the salvation of all. We continue to witness to the love and mercy of God granted to us in Christ, who gave his life for us. The Christian message, which brings joy and peace, is what our world needs. When we look at our Christian calling, we must realize that, having been set as light to the nations, we should match our words with action. A light can never be hidden. It is meant to be put on the stand for everyone to see. We cannot speak of God's mercy in Christ if we Christians don't show mercy. We cannot preach love if we do not love others. We cannot preach peace if we act contrary to it. These few days, the whole world have been waiting to hear who the next pope will be and what kind of shepherd will he be. To the glory of God, Pope Leo XIV has been elected as the new pope. At a time like this, in the history of the church, we pray to God to bless the pope with all the graces he needs to shepherd the flock left in his care as the successor of Peter. Jesus says his sheep hear his voice, and he knows them, and they follow him. May his voice resound with messages of hope, peace, and love to our troubled world, and may the world listen to his voice as the shepherd after the mind of God. In another place, Jesus says, "By their fruits you shall know them." There is no other way to demonstrate our faith than to allow ourselves to be guided by Christ, who is the good shepherd. Under his protective care, we can never be snatched away, and our salvation is sure, only if we freely accept to be guided by him. Let us pray to Christ the good shepherd that he will bless Pope Leo XIV and grant him a successful and fruitful papacy. May the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the saints intercede for him, that through his leadership, may we all, as members of the one sheepfold, continue our journey of faith to our eternal rewards in heaven. Amen. Peace be with you.
That was a reflection by Father Enobong Udaidion from Nigeria. You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, The World Around Us. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.